Music arranger for today took a little bit of liberty with our psalm response. He arranged it, he translated it in such a way that it read, God has done great things for us, filled us with laughter and music. Now, I know many of you get the Missalette or you get the Magnificat and you read before you come, and I think that is a wonderful, wonderful way to prepare your heart for Mass. And if you read it in, say, the Magnificat, it would read, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. So, a little bit of liberty with the translation, but nailed it on the point. And that seems to pick up on the dominant theme for the readings today. So many times these days, at least for me, I know, we tend to turn to the Lord when we are in trouble or when we see something on the news that brings us to tears or to our knees or when we have something to ask for. With today's readings, we reflect not on our needs, but rather on the gifts that have been given to us. When we have had bad days, as all of us do, occasionally we catch ourselves wallowing, wallowing in the sadness or the fear or the anger or the heartbreak. But you know, we have another choice. We can choose to look at the one good thing that we can find in that day. One positive in an otherwise awful day. This seems to be what God is reminding Jeremiah and his people about in the first reading. The Jewish people had been scattered. They had been scattered to Babylon, modern-day Iraq. So if all of this sounds like a geography lesson taken from the evening news, only the names have been changed to protect the guilty. The Israelites have been carried off to Babylon, to Iraq. They no longer have a holy place to worship in which God dwelled. The temple where they're arguing about what's going on the Temple Mount or the Holy Mount. They were separated from their families. They were in a foreign land and they had lost their freedom. I imagine every morning they got up and one day was pretty much just as gloomy as the next. In fact, a few weeks ago we heard in the psalm, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Israel. But instead of this collective depression, God points out a few good things and wants them instead to sing aloud and raise shouts, to be filled with laughter and music, despite the fact that they had sinned and were being punished by being sent away from the Holy Land of Israel. The good news was that God never gave up on His people. God still loved them. God still saw Himself as their Father, and He wanted to save them. This despite all the wrong that they had done against Him. So God makes a few promises here in Jeremiah. God says He will lead them back home again, no matter how far away they were. And not just the healthy and the strong ones, but like a loving shepherd, He would help carry the blind ones, the lame ones, the pregnant ones. He will take care of all of them. So, think about that the next time you get into your own personal little depression. The psalm then shows us how God did carry out that promise to His people. It says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy." The promise is still there for us as well. In the last verse, we read, "Those who go out weeping shall come home with shouts of joy." All we need to do is to look at the positives that God will do for us and has done for us, instead of getting stuck on a merry-go-round that goes from negative to negative and back to negative, and ultimately fills our lives with unproductive worry. Similarly, in the gospel today, we read of Bartimaeus, a blind man who had every reason to be depressed and to be miserable. But Bartimaeus had heard word of this Jesus of Nazareth and the healings that he had done, and he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. We know that because he uses the term Son of David, which was sort of a code phrase for the Messiah. The others around him who went to see Jesus did not seem to have such a depth of belief. They even tried to get Bartimaeus to, yeah, I've raised kids and we're not supposed to say this because it's an ugly word, shut up. That's what the crowd said to Bartimaeus. Would you shut up? I remember when my son was little. Oh, that's a bad word, Daddy. But they couldn't shut him up. They couldn't shut him up. Bartimaeus knew what he wanted, and he knew who could give it to him. So he shouted all the louder. We might take note of this ourselves. When we want something very badly, and somehow we don't seem to be connecting with God, maybe we have to not give up, but rather shout even louder. I would suggest you do that in your closet because the people around you are going to think you're a little wacky. Okay? I mean, if you're just standing out of here on the street shouting at God, you're probably going to get a reputation. But in the privacy of your prayer closet, I think the newest movie that was out, Your War Room, for goodness sake, shout even louder. When Jesus heard Bartimaeus, he stopped walking and asked for Bartimaeus to be brought to him. And I love the directness of both Jesus and this blind man. They don't waste any time and they don't waste any words. Both know what they want. Jesus doesn't make small talk. Oh, Bartimaeus, how are your children, your grandchildren? What do you think about this wet weather we're having? No. Jesus comes right to the point. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus is just as direct. I want to see again. And Jesus cures him just like that. Jesus also says that what has made him well was his great faith. Earlier, Jesus had told the disciples that faith could move mountains. Well, blindness is certainly a mountain to move. We also notice that when Bartimaeus could see, He didn't run off. But that his faith and his belief in Jesus as Messiah caused him to become a follower of Jesus. He followed Jesus on the way. The way was one of the very first names given to Jesus' followers, those who kept his teachings and those who kept his commandments. Bartimaeus did not spend his time depressed because he was blind, but took action and concentrated on the positive and called out to the great healer. The epistle today, the second reading, focuses on Christ as the high priest. It's using the imagery of Israel, of old Israel, to speak to the new Israel. The people of Israel, Jerusalem, to the new Christians of Israel. One person, the high priest, one day of the year, on the Day of Atonement, could go into the Holy of Holies and speak to God on the people's behalf, offering gifts and making sacrifice for sin. In our attempts to focus on what God has done for us, we must call to mind that it means that God sent His only Son as a human being just like us. And so He knows what we are up against in our daily lives. He carried that to the cross. He was up against it too. So we need to focus on how wonderful God has been to us, how caring, how forgiving, to give us this gift of Himself in the man called Jesus. Let us take some time this week to dig deeply and to focus on the good things in our life that God has provided, and not get on that merry-go-round, at least for a little while, that goes from bad thing to bad thing to bad thing. There will always be negatives in our lives. That's what it means to be a human being. It's what it means to grow older. That's what it means to be tempted. Instead, let us look at the good things that God has done for us. The good things that present themselves to us each day. The smile of a neighbor, the help of a store clerk, the voice of a child, the touch of a healing physician, or after a few days of this miserable rain, just feeling the sun on our face again. Personal note very quickly, this last couple of weeks, I am diabetic, and so I always watch my eyesight, and I noticed over the last several months that it had been diminishing quickly, and it was coming around to the time for my annual checkup. I was a little concerned about what that might mean, because I noticed that it was going in both eyes and it was going quickly. So I went to my optometrist, and she took a good look in there, and she said, "Well, it's as foggy looking in as it is for you looking out. But the good news is this happens to about 50% of people who have cataract surgery. And in the first year or the third year or about the fifth year, you develop some fogginess." She said, I got a fellow, I'll send you to him. We'll get you in tomorrow. He's a magician with a laser. So I went to the doctor. Was there 3 hours for about a 3-minute procedure, one in each eye. Went back to his partner the following Friday, and he said, looks good from here. I said, well, it looks pretty good on here, from here looking out. Went back to my optometrist, and she said, yeah, I think that took care of it. And by the way, it looks like your diabetes is under control. You know, sometimes we've got to let ourselves focus on the good news and not the bad news. And I know that's sometimes hard to do. There are, if we concentrate on them, these good things, just maybe it will carry over into other parts of our lives. And then from our lives to the lives of those around us, that we might make this world, just our little corner of it, closer to that kingdom of God that Jesus preached. So, I want you to make a promise that this week, you will look to see, look with the eyes of faith to see the good things that are part of your lives, and to give thanks to God even when other things are burdens and they tend to be crumbling around us. Indeed, God has done great things for us. And if we're willing to let Him bear our burdens, He will fill us with laughter and music. Amen.